Welcome back to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. For some people, jazz music is something to listen to occasionally, collect, and share with friends. For others, it's a way of life, a constant search for that perfect melody. Trumpeter Mondre Moffett continues his search, which began as a young boy. Mondre's father was a legendary avant-garde or free jazz drummer, Charles Moffett. Mondre grew up performing trumpet and composing for the Moffett Family Jazz Band, touring the U.S. and Southeast Asia, and later internationally with the Duke Ellington Orchestra. Today, Mondre brings his wealth of jazz knowledge to bear at North Carolina A&T State University, where he teaches composition, arranging, jazz history, gospel history, and black music in America. He also directs the A&T Jazz Ensemble All-Stars. They'll perform a concert on Thursday night, November 21st at 7 o'clock in Harrison Auditorium on the A&T campus in Greensboro. It's titled Jazz Music, A Global Expression. Mondre and his outstanding young all-stars are here with a sneak preview live in Studio A. Pianist Marcus Tung, Byron Carter on bass, drummer Isaac Cusar, Johnny Jackson on alto sax, and guitarist Lawrence Thompson. They kick things off with a Rodgers and Hart classic that's become a jazz ballad standard, My Funny Valentine. Thank you. Rodgers and Hart classic to start things off. My Funny Valentine, very funky Valentine, and a great arrangement. How did this arrangement come about?
Well, My Funny Valentine, a jazz standard. We just want to put a groove on it. You know, we just want to put some stank on it. Something different from what we've been doing. Kind of thinking of a global expression and, you know, dealing with jazz from that standpoint.
Yeah.
And it just evolved over time.
Was that a rhythm section beginning? How did the first little tweak begin?
I think they had this little lick that comes up in between that we played off of.
Yeah.
And then I noticed Johnny was real comfortable, our alto saxophone player, in that groove. It just kind of reminded me of Grover Washington. And it's good to start off with it because it really gets us kind of locked into a groove. And I thought it would be a good thing to start most concerts with.
And for most folks, a great recognizable tune, Rodgers and Hart. It's interesting to me that Rodgers and Hart, so many of their tunes have become, they're all over the real book. They're jazz standards now. What is it about their music that lends itself so well to jazz?
All I know is that you have jazz standards and you have jazz originals. Rodgers and Hart, they really produce a lot of jazz standards that works went into Broadway shows. I love the tune because I heard Miles Davis do it live at Plug Nickel. He and Herbie Hancock, I think Wayne Shorter, Tony Williams. The best record Miles Davis ever made. Since that was made in such a classic, I said, okay, My Funny Valentine has to go another way now. Because after hearing Miles play that record, play it so beautifully as a ballad, you know, it's been done that way.
Yeah.
And so
I was going to ask some of the guys in the band, I guess I'll start with Johnny. Who are some of your saxophone idols growing up? And how'd you get into playing the sax in the first place?
My parents, they purchased me a saxophone in fifth grade.
Fifth grade? Okay.
Yeah. And Charlie Parker and Kenny Garrett, Grover Washington Jr., some of those saxophone players are still the people that I listen to.
Yeah. I'm hearing beautiful colors from all those different sounds in your sound, but it's your own thing. Talk about that, just finding your own voice on the instrument.
Yes, I really want to be able to play with a world music concept on my instrument. I want to be able to sound great on many different styles of jazz. Mm. I want to be able to play from Latin to swing to bebop. I want to have a really wonderful sound.
That's why we study. That's why we go to this great school. I should say that for listeners not in the know, you come from an extremely musical family, one of the musical dynasties out there in the world of jazz and beyond. And that whole teacher-student relationship within the dynamic of the family. Well, give me a core, if you would, because you're, you know, in addition to being a fantastic performer, a wonderful teacher, wonderful educator, what did you gather from your father in terms of that dynamic? And I know there are probably hundreds of things that come to mind, but like at the core, what did he give you?
First of all, just music is fun. And don't be afraid of any music. I mean, just really be free and do it. Learn by doing. But he just gave me a wonderful legacy. I mean, and all the cats were always over, you know, Art Blakey and all of his friends, all the drummer friends. Max Roach is the godfather, my younger brother. And Arnett Coleman is my goddad. And he and best man at my mom and dad's wedding. And I would just sit at their feet and listen to those guys talk. And the first thing attracted me to the music was to see the love between them. And I would just sit and just listen. But when it was time to play music, it was fun. But there was very much a seriousness to the approach.
Mm.
And that's one of the things any music students who know me, they know that when it's time to make some music, you know, you have to play it like it's your last time.
Byron, our bass player here, playing jazz music and learning all this is not the easiest thing in the world you could be doing right now. Why do you make that kind of commitment to rise to those sorts of levels?
Because many of the people who aspired to be like playing bass had a background in jazz, and I kind of grew up on it. It was in my house being played. The schools I went to heavily encouraged jazz from elementary school all the way through high school and now college.
You got some amazing facility on your instrument. What kind of commitment are we talking about to get that agile at what you do? Could you talk me through a typical day in terms of practice hours, rehearsal, and what kind of investment you need to make in your instrument to make it sing at that level?
I started playing when I was about 10 or 11 years old. So when I first started, I would go in my basement or a shed, so to speak, and I used to have 3 or 4 CDs that I would play over and over, like a gospel CD, an R&B CD, a jazz CD, different genres. Mm. And I would try to perfect those CDs and different styles. And then when I got those down, I would pull some more out and try those. And I did that for maybe 3 or 4 years until I could actually come out and be able to play by ear and somewhat read and be able to play a lot of different genres of music.
That seems like a real standard learning tool, playing with recordings. I heard of Branford Marsalis talking about having giant steps on his turntable for 2 years, you know, until he had pretty much memorized it. And what do you pick up from that experience? What sorts of things get into you as a musician from repeated listening and that sort of thing?
Repeated listening, it just trains your ear. Mm. It trains you, and if you're playing along with it, it trains your body to be able to move with the music. And you, especially when you're on your instrument, to know where, how to get different feels and know where your notes and your pitches and all that stuff is. So.
All right. And we get to put it to the test now with some Moaning. And let's hear some Art Blakey. This is a great tune, a great groove tune, and you all really make it your own. So this is North Carolina A&T Jazz Ensemble All-Stars, and they're live in Studio A. We're going to hear Moaning next, and we've got Mr. Marcus Tung on piano, Byron Carter, bass guitar, Isaac Cousar on drums, Johnny Jackson on alto sax, and on guitar, Mr. Lawrence Thompson. This is Moaning. Thank you. besides Monin, which he did do when he played the drums a lot, but the late, great Art Blakey. What did he bring to the table?
Oh, man. Art was such a charismatic figure. It's just so hard to be a leader in the field of jazz because you have such strong personalities. But he was one that, you know, he led by example. He didn't try to say, okay, this is a quarter note or this is a half note. He's like, okay, you'll get it right in a minute. Or, hey, you have to tell a story. Or you need to play with more fire. And I'm kind of imitating his voice. I'm going to take you to New York. Or no, not take you to New York. When you coming to New York, you say, well, Art, you know, I'm going to get there. Any way you can, you know. Oh, he was just a wonderful, wonderful individual.
Marcus, I was wondering how you go about finding your strengths and growing within what you have, your tools, and where are you in that whole process in learning about jazz playing?
I haven't been playing real long. I've been playing for about 2 years.
Wow.
But I'm fortunate to know my piano theory. Theory helps me a lot. Listening to the different guys like Oscar Peterson and Thelonious Monk and Duke Ellington with the jazz era, that helps me to try to find my own way and my own different sound from everybody else. I take a little bit from everybody, from, well, those three mainly, because those guys are...
There's plenty to work with.
That'll bomb. I take a little bit from those three and just come up with my own stuff, and that's how I try to make my sound.
Thank you. That was Hannibal by the late, great Miles Davis, performed by the North Carolina A&T Jazz Ensemble All-Stars, led by director and acclaimed jazz trumpeter Mr. Mondre Moffett. We heard pianist Marcus Tung, Byron Carter on bass, drummer Isaac Cusar. On alto, we heard Johnny Jackson and guitarist Lawrence Thompson. Together, they'll perform a concert on Thursday night, November 21st at 7 o'clock in Harrison Auditorium on the A&T campus in Greensboro. It's titled Jazz Music, A Global Expression. Tickets are just $10, and you'll find links to more information at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and it's time to jump behind the scenes with writer, actor, filmmaker, and director Angus McLaughlin.
1 year ago, we shot a movie that I wrote called Goodbye to All That here in Winston-Salem. My name is Angus McLaughlin, and I'm a native of Winston, and I graduated from the North Carolina School of the Arts. Epoch Films, who produced Junebug, is a company out of New York. But I have so many people ask me, did you use local talent? And I tell them that we had a casting agent in L.A., and I went to L.A. and New York to see actors. And we ended up with Paul Schneider and Heather Graham and Amy Sedaris and Anna Camp, Melanie Linsky, and a child actor who was originally from Houston, Texas. But we did use local talent because we also had a local casting person, and we had a line producer, Summer Shelton, who grew up in Mount Airy and also attended the North Carolina School of the Arts. I had known that Paul Schneider, our lead, graduated from the School of the Arts Film School as an editor. He fell into acting when David Gordon Green, who was a fellow classmate, cast him in two of his films. I had also gotten Beth Bostick, who was in school with me, and she played a small role in the film. Celia Weston, who played the mother in Junebug, also has a role in the film, and she is a graduate of both Salem College and the North Carolina School of the Arts. And I had gotten two of my classmates, one who lives in Atlanta and one who lives in New York, also came and did two small roles in the film. I was talking to our makeup woman, who we had hired from L.A., and she said, yeah, you know, I went to the School of the Arts in high school as a flutist. And so I started to think, this is, you know, interesting and intriguing. And I finally asked Summer Shelton, our line producer, after we had wrapped up, to give me a list of how many School of the Arts alumni were involved in our little film. And she compiled a list, and it turned out that we had 38 School of the Arts alumni working on our film in every capacity, and not just from the film school. There were people like myself who graduated in high school from visual arts and from the drama department. There were other drama department graduates. There was the music department. There were D&P department, that's design and production, who worked in the art department on our film. And I thought that this was interesting and says something not only about the film school, but about the infiltration of the entire School of the Arts into showbiz, because none of these people were hired because they were graduates. There was a discovery after the fact. There's something about the school that I think its size, its intensity, its rigor, that makes you feel as if you're part of a family. And so it was great in my experience on my first film, shooting in my hometown, that I got to involve people that are part of my family because I am a School of the Arts graduate. I remember when I first graduated, I went to New York, and another graduate and I were walking down the street, and we saw Tommy Hulse, who played Mozart in the film Amadeus. And at that time, he was doing a lot of theater. He hadn't done Amadeus yet. And we just went right up to him and said, we're from the School of the Arts, and we know you went to the School of the Arts. And he could not have been nicer. He was kind. He was not condescending. He took us as peers. And I always think of that when people either come to me or now work with me on a project to try to do the same thing, because you really do feel like you've all gone through this boot camp, kind of like the Marine Corps, and you all know what that's like. So there was a great feeling of, I don't know how to put it, camaraderie or using local talent. We used local talent. They just don't all happen to live here.
Behind the Scenes with writer, actor, filmmaker, and director of the new film Goodbye to All That, Angus McLaughlin. The movie was filmed in Winston-Salem. This is Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and when we get back from this short break, with all the sad news out there, couldn't we all use just a few stories of hope and courage? Well, Faith Action International House in Greensboro is here to lift our spirits, and world-renowned male vocal ensemble Cantus will pick up the torch of tolerance as well. Come out of the shadows, where all is calm, next, when Triad Arts Weekend continues.